What's going on? It's Mario. Final Approach, another episode of the FA podcast. We're gonna get right into it, but we're gonna always thank everybody that helps us out going through the podcast and our YouTube channel and everything else. That's Federal Ammunition and Weatherby, and of course Rogers Sporting Goods and Leupold and Sask Goose Company up at Tyler's place up in Canada are always helping. So what we're going to do is we're going to introduce Chris, who I've known for a pretty good amount of time. Chris Ingram has been a couple places in the outdoor industry, and now you are at the UKC handling some stuff at the United Kennel Club, which is, I'll let you kind of, tell us what your actually job is there, but then you can kind of get into, there's so much going on there. It's pretty cool, but go ahead. You're in
Yeah,
charge of
thanks, Mario.
football right now. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Mario. Well, it's good to connect with you. And gosh, I have fond memories of hunting with Tyler up in Saskatchewan there. Now jealous of you guys going back every time and
Such a great
seeing the
place.
photos and the updates. And oh man, what a time.
For sure.
Saskatchewan, like that's it. It just sort of commands so much there.
Such a
But
cool spot, for sure. Like that's like the, the I keep nudging my wife, and she's like, "No, can't take the weather. Can't take the weather. We're not going there."
man, I've only been there in like September, October. Like, I don't know what it's like. Like, does it exist the rest of the year? I don't even know.
Like, Tyler will call me, and he'll be like, "What's going on?" And he's got the meat shop there, right? So he's like, "Oh, just cutting meat." And I go, "What's the weather doing?" He's like, "It's like minus 40."
Wow. Yeah, that's a tough sell there. I see.
And I don't even know if I want to be there at minus 40, because you can't do anything. You know
Yeah. Yeah. And my
what I mean?
minus 40 is sort of a mind bender because that's like when centigrade meets Fahrenheit, like it's just effing cold. Doesn't
Yeah,
matter.
it doesn't even matter. Like at that point, it's like it's damn cold is what it is. And
Yeah.
you shouldn't be outside. You shouldn't be anywhere, right?
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, man.
So
Cool.
go ahead. You're on. Go.
Yeah, so United Kennel Club UKC is sort of a name that's been around. We've been around as a registry since 1898, so 125 plus years. Of course, we're in business like AKC, CKC. We're a purebred dog registry. But I think what really separates us is we focus on sporting dogs. So whether that's your retrievers, your hunting dogs, the other side of our business is what we call all breed sports. So think about like agility, dock jumping,
Yeah.
traditional bench shows, all of that. But we're really focused on getting out, being active with your dogs. So I came on about a year and a half ago, and I had done some work, photography, writing, editing.
Remember.
We
Yeah.
connected when my time at OSG, and been there for a year and a half now, and my primary role has been focused on rebranding and reintroducing the American field. And that's a name I would say maybe more synonymous with pointing dog owners. Used
Sure.
to be a weekly tabloid sized newspaper that had field
Yeah.
trial reports, stud dog ads. Like it
Yeah.
was the pulse. There it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got the new magazine there. So, like, it
Yeah.
was kind of crazy to think about reinventing this thing into like a quarterly editorial magazine. And
Sure.
when I had to think about that, like, oh gosh, what am I going to do? There's so many great titles out there, lots of stuff being done. I just sort of kind of mirrored what we do at UKC, and that's focused on all dogs, community. So the New American Field celebrates all types of hunting dogs together in one place. And we've got a lot of great reception from that. Most of us sort of fall into one camp. We're retriever
For
owners,
sure.
we're
For sure.
houndsmen, whatever else. And so we're super focused on storytelling and like celebrating what brings us together. Most of us have like, rabbit hunted with beagles or chased coon hounds or, something. So it's kind of cool to
Sure.
relive that, but just be introduced to new things.
Yeah,
So we, yeah.
that was probably like the first thing. Like, as soon as you said that, I thought, okay, so my grandfather, so my mom's dad, this is a long, long time ago. I mean, we were just kids, but my grandfather, like, we grew up in Pennsylvania. So, it was deer and rabbits and pheasants and, Like, I didn't get introduced into the waterfowl until later, until my dad started pushing that pretty hard. But my grandfather had a beagle named Queenie, and that's all we heard about when we were kids, was how good she was on rabbits. You know what I mean? So that part of history is so, goes so far back. It was such a thing. So go ahead, but that's
Yeah.
just the first thing that
No.
came to my mind, and that's it right there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I love it too. Like that's how I spend my winters here in Vermont, is going with friends and chasing rabbits and hare. And like so many of us hunting dog owners have like a primary introduction to hunting dogs through beagles, or through hounds, or whatever it is. And so to sort of reminisce and read these stories and hear those things, it's really neat. Brings you back. And yeah, it's kind of funny because like through my professional and personal journey with dogs, I've been exposed to everything. And you can't possibly have a kennel full of everything, but
No.
this is cool to sort of live vicariously, or maybe like be
Yeah.
connected and figure out like how you can enjoy your time with your dog more. Maybe you've got a lab and you want to get into shed hunting or blood tracking or whatever else it is, man. Like we're here to help people do that.
It's so wide, like you're saying, you know what I mean? Like, I have a buddy in Ohio, who is a coon hound guy, and he's got like world champion coon hounds, and he's just like they're it's incredible. It's a totally different like world and game. I don't know anything about that, and then you have like the upland guys who are so, and upland is so wide as well. Like if you waterfowl hunt, there's a few breeds, but it's real basic. Like you're in a field, you're over water, and the game is pretty the same, right? Pretty similar. But you get into upland and it's like, are you humping the hills for quail in somewhere, or are you in like really thick stuff for rough grouse, or are you on the prairie for like huns? Like upland to me is so wide, and there's so many breeds, and it's so different, I guess. That's the thing that kind of blows me away. That side is so wide.
It really is. And I'm really starting to enjoy and like appreciate like how our pursuit, like our breed of dog, what we do, like it's an extension of ourselves or like our personality or identities. And like,
Sure.
oh man, the upland space is wild because of they're using flushing dogs, they're using pointing dogs. And it's funny because you might think of like I'm in New England here, so of course it's like grouse covers, an aging homestead with an apple orchard and a stone wall, and
Oh,
there's
yeah.
a feathered setter with a high tail, like that's our version. But then these guys like chasing chukar or whatever it is, man, like it's super cool.
So let me throw this at you. So you'll appreciate this, and anybody listening that's a dog person. So we took a trip a couple years ago to film in Europe, and we went to a couple different places, and I have a close friend who's our distributor in Finland. And we took a trip to Sweden. And the thing about Finland and Sweden is they have dogs and dog breeds for everything. And what I mean by that is they have a dog that, tracks moose, right? They have a different breed of dog that tracks these things called raccoon dogs, which is like a predator. It's like a really dumb predator, and it is the mix of, it looks like a dog and a raccoon. It looks like it's all furry and fun and whatever, but it's like a menace, right?
The
Over the
thin
top.
coon dog.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? The raccoon dog. So they got dogs for that. Then they have a dog that'll hunt for like capercaillies, and then they have like their other. So I was over there, and I was like, holy God. We went to one of the guys' house. He had three different dogs. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, he's got three dogs. Like, okay. Every one of those dogs was used for something totally different. And it just, like you're talking about, like over here, like you could have one dog that can do all that. Over there, it was so wide. Like, we went hare hunting, which is rabbits over there, but giant rabbits. They got huge hares over there. And, all they do is, you get on these logging roads, I'll call it, right? And the dogs go in and just try to bump the hares out so you can kind of get a shot because it's so thick you can't even walk through there. So, but they got a dog for that. And it's just like here, like there's a lot going on, but over there it's a totally different world. So cool. So cool.
Yeah,
You would dig it.
yeah, that's amazing, and it's cool to think about too, like the origination of or the origination of breeds, like purpose bred, and they have these different utilitarian uses. And it's funny, I'll pick on those upland guys for a minute, where they have their versatile breeds, their German wire hairs and draughts or GSPs. I mean, pick any of them, like the Navda crowd, and like all they're doing mostly. Generalizing here is like pointing birds, but it's like these dogs will track game, they'll run rabbits, they'll tree coon, they'll do water retrieves. It's like you're only using like 10% of the
The dog,
capacity of your
right?
dog.
He's got so much more capacity. Like he could do like anything. And that's the, that's what's wild. And like those dogs over there, like, I was talking about like this one can track moose, but he could also track deer. Like you just gotta like, tell him what to do and like they're off and running. And the other sector which grew pretty good for a while there, and I don't know if it's still growing, was the guys who were tracking hogs with the dogs. You know what I mean? That was a totally different sector. So there's been so much, and then like you said, like the other stuff that like the dock dogs and the all that, like all that has increased as well. So like, and I think COVID definitely pushed like the dog limit because it was like every person in my neighborhood like ended up and not a sporting dog, just any. They ended up getting dogs just so they could like go for walks and get out of the house and do stuff. So I think that
Absolutely.
like jumped high then.
Yeah, we're living in, I would say, the golden era of dog ownership, and I'd love to read more reports and geek out or like see what evidence we have at UKC. One of the things I heard that was interesting is, like adoption rescue is still as strong or growing.
That's good.
But even a lot of younger people, like say they're choosing not to have children, like they're getting dogs, and it's
For
usually like
sure.
one and two, and
For
they're
sure.
doing all these different things with them. And it's, yeah, I don't care if you're chasing game or if you're playing some sport, whatever it is, like everything is better with a dog. Let's just say it.
There's no doubt. We had a podcast with one of the guys from Dogtra a while ago, and I was telling him like my worst waterfowl season, since I was a kid was few years ago. It was like 6 years ago when I was going into the season. My 9-year-old lab passed unexpectedly right before the season, so I went through that whole season with no dog, and hadn't been through a season with no dog in forever. And I was telling him, I was like, I hated it. Like I didn't even, for how much I love to go, I was like, I don't want to go. I don't even care. Like the steam was right out of me. Like I was like, and I it was harder. Like if I'm in the boat on the river, like that was the worst thing. I was like, I can't even take the boat this year. This is terrible. Unless somebody else has their dog and we're going. Like everything was harder and it just wasn't enjoyable,
Gosh, that's such a true testament, and I love to see more people talking about that. And my dog gets me out. That's who I do it for. And
Sure.
I think it takes some of the pressure off. It changes the sort of measurement of success. So it's super nice to see those conversations and people encouraging each other to do that too.
Yeah, I mean, listen, one of the things that got my kids kind of into it was the dog. Like my daughter will go a couple times a year with me. She's older now, she's in college. And when she comes home, we always go like Thanksgiving. I always take the kids. Like that's our tradition. Like we go. And like her thing was like, I'll go, but I wanna control the dog. Like I wanna run the dog. So I'm like, okay, you have to run them the same way I run them. And she was like, younger, it was comedy. She was brutal. She would like yell at him, and she's like, get over here. Like she'd tell him exactly what to do. So that was like one of the ways like the kids kind of got into it. And then it just kind of went from there. I mean, my son's into it pretty deep now and he likes going. So it was definitely something when the kids were younger that they got into it because of that. They love the dog stuff. So that's a whole nother angle you could use with the kids and whoever.
I love that. And you talked about like rabbit hunting, and there's those sporting traditions that you don't just have to sit quiet and freeze your butts off in a deer blind. And I think that's what I really enjoy seeing too. Like one of the sports that we have at UKC is our elite shed dog program.
Oh,
And
yeah.
so it's antler shed, and yeah, it's planted and it's like a competition, but you might see like a kid that gets started, and then next year mom's got a dog and the whole family is ha bringing their dogs and competing. And it's another place where it's all breeds. It's predominantly retrievers and labs and that, but I mean there's poodles and cockers and mixed breeds and different things, and just and that's, I mean, that's everywhere, like wild sheds available for everybody. What a great activity to do with your dog.
For sure. Like the, you know, the first time I saw a dog track a deer, was here in Oregon. And then one of the guys who owned some property, he waterfowl hunted a bunch and he had a black lab. He had a female. Tess was her name. And I'll never forget. He was like, I shot a deer last night. It was late. He's like, it's so thick, I lost it. He's like, I just backed out. And he's like, and he texted me, he's like, you got time in the morning? I'm gonna take the dog. I was like, yeah, I'll go. I'll help you. So we went the next morning and he just gave her some scent, whatever, and just she picked it up and like, I mean, it took us no time. The dog was re like we had to keep up, obviously. Catch up to her, but dude, she found that deer in no time, like through the thickest crap. And I was like, we would have been here for hours. And she pulled that off, and I was like, has she ever done this? And he's like, she's only done it like one other time for me, but she, no training. She did it once before, and she just had that in her to go do it. Like, that blew my mind. I was like, never seen anything like that. That was intense.
That blood tracking sort of like big game recovery, that's another thing that's like way on the rise. I love it too. It's you might not be into the killing side of things, but you can sort of be outdoors and be part of that outdoor community. All breeds, all abilities. It's another thing that's available for everybody.
Well, I mean, the West has exploded out this way with, with the cougars and bobcats and chasing cats with the dogs. I mean there's some incredible outfitters out west here that do that, and the dogs are just top notch. And there's some guys that'll just that like you said like aren't even into the whole killing part. They're just running cats out of properties and off properties and just do that, and they just keep doing it. It's like a steady job for some of these guys on some of these big ranches and stuff. So pretty wild. There's a lot going on. I mean, the dog game is wide for sure.
And I love it, sort of like wherever you live, like just poke around, like there will be something going on.
Oh yeah.
And I've been really focused on that too. There's a lot of opportunities for game hunting here in Vermont, but it's like, what do I have access to right outside my door? It's squirrel hunting, it's rabbit hunting, there's some waterfowl stuff, but it's like anywhere you are, like there's something going on, there's something to do.
When I go, so all every dog we've ever had since we were younger has always been, registered UKC. Like that's just like an easy thing. We always do it. Every dog I've had since I left my dad's house or what, you know what I mean? I've always done it. But it's crazy. Like I told you before we started, like I go to the website and there's so much information. Like I pull up this one thing and it's like you said, there's coonhound, there's categories. Coonhounds, beagles, hunting retrievers, upland hunting, elite shed dogs, cur and feist. Like there's so much, and there's all kind of events and a calendar and program. Like If you want to get into more dog stuff or get your breed of dog, like you said, into something else, like this is it, there's so much information, it's mind-boggling there.
Yeah,
You know what I mean?
and it is, and what's really neat too is, I mean, we're the parent organization. We oversee a lot of the events and the titles and different things, but we work with, I believe it's over 18,000 clubs, local clubs across the country and even into Canada. There's some international stuff too,
For
and
sure.
so you know we rely on those, like on those volunteers, those members. You know, they're the ones like putting on these events and making things happen. But it's awesome. Like I've visited some local events here. We just had one of our big Coonhound events, Autumn Oaks. The community, the fellowship, the support. I mean, we're competing for like ribbons, you know, for titles. Like we do some money hunts and stuff, but it's just this like prestige and esteem you have with your dog. And I'll tell you, Mario, I was at this Coonhound event, and like when you look at one dog, you know, that's in a competition or that's on a bench, you might be looking at several generations
Oh
of
yeah.
that dog's
Oh yeah.
lineage, you know,
Oh yeah.
that family's lineage. And like you might think a 25-cent ribbon, like, oh, big deal, but man, there's so much history. You can feel it. It's amazing.
Oh yeah. You know, listen, you go back on the waterfowl side, on the retriever side, you know, and you can go all the way back, and there's, you know, there's four or five dogs, you know, that everybody always talks to, or, you know, is you know, when you're looking at, you know, a pup's lineage, and you're going back through the papers, and you know, you see, you know, whatever, Lean Mack, or you see one of those dogs where you just go, yeah, like you said, those dogs go back. It goes back so far. You know what I mean? That I don't even know if there's any of that dog's DNA still in the dogs today. You know what I mean? I don't know how much is still there, but like you said, we're going back so far, you know what I mean? But that dog's name holds so much weight that when you see it, and it's no different, probably like you said, on the coon side, on all these other sides, and as this, you know, as the shed hunter stuff or whatever, all these newer things kind of get elevated, you know, down the road, they're going to do the same thing. Like this dog was a master, you know what I mean? That, and his lineage, like you said, you know, those coon dogs, like, you know, my buddy Steven Reinhold's in Ohio. I told you he's like major. He's got like champion dogs. And, you know, he'll be standing there with the pictures, and I'm like, man, that's a good looking dog. I don't know anything about it, but yeah. And he's like, yeah, he's had a couple dogs, like, you know, like you said, generational dogs. He keeps getting a pup out of whatever, and here you go. They just got it. It's no different than any breed.
It's amazing too, those folks that like, you know, can memorize pedigrees, or like, you know, you mention something and they know that the knowledge and the depth that they get into, it's mind-blowing. Oh my gosh.
It totally is. So the cool thing, like I said, about the website is there's so much information there. Like you could click on retrievers, you could click on, you know, upland, you could go like wherever. And it doesn't matter, like you said, like if you have a lab, if you have a lab, you're sitting on a pretty versatile breed. There's a lot of versatile breeds out there, but like, you know, I've seen labs do, we would go pheasant hunting, we would go rough grouse hunting, we waterfowl hunted, you know, I've seen labs track blood and deer, you know, the sheds, like you're sitting on a pretty versatile brand, you know, type of dog and breed of dog. So if you wanted to get into something else, you can do it. You know, maybe your summers are like, hey, I want to do something else, or I want to do something in the spring or whatever. Like you could get into something else with the dog you have. And it doesn't matter if it's a lab or not. Like other dogs are multi-talented. Like you said, you could do other stuff if you want to.
Absolutely. I mean, I've heard of, you know, turtle pointing dogs, and The conservation working dogs, even like my brother's at home with an 8-week-old puppy, training him to use a bell to take himself out. And just the things that you
I
can
know
do, these
exactly what you're
animals.
talking about. Yep.
These animals are so intelligent. They're so capable, and they're just waiting for us to do something with them.
Does he have what kind of dog is it? Is it a
It is a bit of a mixed breed. It's got some lab blood. I forget a few other things. It is a rescue. He might be a little older than 8 weeks, but just that whole idea of like, I'm gonna use this dog's innate ability and optimize it, for something that's gonna be better for me and my family. It's
Yeah,
so cool.
one of the guys I know had a dog like that and got a pup like that, and they said, "Oh yeah, you bell train him to go out." And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, he'll go over and he'll hit it with his paw, or he'll nose the bell when he needs to go to the bathroom." And I was like, "Okay," and I was like, some dogs would go stand by the back door or do whatever. Like mine'll just send out like one bark. And I'm like, and then he'll wait like another minute if I don't come out, and then he'll do another single bark, and it's like he's got to go out. So every dog has its own thing, but they're
And I
so
mean,
much smarter than you could even imagine.
and I get it. Like, that's not impressive as, a triple blind mark, some big impressive retriever feat, but like, hey, that's pretty stinking cool, or the ones that like will fetch a beer from the fridge, or
For sure.
I mean, gosh,
Still
that's
pretty
fun
cool.
stuff.
Yeah, that's still pretty cool. Well, and listen, you're seeing, like the TSA dogs or the security dogs, Pete Fisher, who we talked to from Dog Trail, like he was talking about, he was just at a conference a while ago on the bomb dogs and the dogs that are, finding explosives, and they're doing this. Like they, there's so much. Like I've just seen like the dog game just ramp up like big time with, like you said, everywhere, everywhere. So yeah, you could totally get your dog into something else. So let's talk about the magazines and trying to kind of bring that back, because everybody always says, that's in this industry is like, well, print is dead and all this other stuff, and you got to go digital. And that all makes sense and whatever. Me, I like getting a magazine still so I could look through it. It's just one of those things. Maybe I'm old school, whatever. But I still like doing that. But like you said, you're back to kind of, do that kind of stuff. So what publications, what do you guys have, and what are you focusing on driving?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks. So UKC, big thing I'm working on is American Field, and this is a unique, it's more of like a lifestyle, enthusiast publication for all hunting dog owners. We talk a lot about the dogs, but we've got wild game cooking, guns and shooting, conservation, that's sort of like well-rounded sportsman's type thing. And it's not just for members. Like, yes, it is UKC registry as a publication, but we talk about mixed breeds and grade dogs and whatever else. So it's all dogs welcome. And then we do have what we call the Hunting Retriever. So those of the listeners that are familiar with the Hunting Retriever Club, HRC, the Hunt Test, we produce a membership magazine for them. We have one for our pointing dog customers, what we call UKC Field, which is sort of what American Field used to be. So that's field trial reports, stud dog ads, upcoming events, things like that, if you're in that game. And then we do have one for our Coonhound customers, the Coonhound Bloodlines. Again, more sort of like events, results, content focused on that Coonhound enthusiast. We may have some other things in the work. We just kind of see what the pulse is with the customers, with the industry that way. But my day-to-day is focused on like production, the advertising, the business side of things, a lot of the promotions. And like you said, we have these print publications, but we've got digital, social, podcast extensions. You just have to be
You have to
everywhere.
be everywhere. Yeah.
But no, it's great. There's a lot of different things going, and I love interacting with our customers and just hearing different stories. We really try to provide a platform for everybody to be involved. So it's, maybe recapping your first competition, or talking about one of your dogs, or something like that. We try to be inclusive of that, and it's great. I get to go to events. I still get to do the writing, the photography. Gosh, I'm blessed. I really enjoy what I'm doing, and a year and a half in feels like I'm still just breaking ice and getting started.
Well, there's so much to do and so much going on. Like I said, the website is so wide, but like the category is so wide. Like you were talking about like hunt tests and stuff. Like there's guys who do the hunt test circuit and do all that stuff and then don't even hunt.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
I mean there's so many different things. And then if you do hunt, you can get, go on the hunt test side or the field trial side and do that. Like there's so much to do, that there's I don't have enough time to do all that
No,
stuff, but
no.
it's pretty cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And God, having one dog is enough for me and the kids and everything else. But it's like, yeah, I wish I could have, I wish I could have a beagle. I wish I could have something else and have some other cool
That's
dogs. Like there's, so I just got to get friends that have other dogs so then I can
it.
go do some other stuff. You know what I mean? That's the thing. That's the ticket.
Yeah, I've been doing that for many, many years, and it's fun, but it's cool, man. And that's what I hope, like, through UKC and through American Field is, hey, like, peek over the other side of the fence, see what folks are doing, and like, let's link up, let's swap hunts, let's do some things together and share the love. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, if you have one kind of dog, like branch out, or if you don't have a dog yet, like this is a pretty wild, like going to the website and looking at that, like what do you want to get into? Because there's pretty much anything. And then, the thing that I wrote down that I wanted to talk about is like, picking a dog, and I don't mean like physically going and picking a dog. I mean, there's a ton of research and a ton of information that you can get on here about like what do you want to do? Do you
Yeah.
want to shed hunt with the dog? Like, what do you want to do? And then you could start narrowing down like, okay, I want to do maybe two things. What kind of dog can put me in that situation? You know what I mean? Like, there's so much to do. You don't have to be just like pigeonholed and like, I'm getting a duck dog and that's all the dog's gonna do. Well, if you're gonna do
Yeah.
some other stuff, like, okay, let's look at what you wanna do.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that because I had to go through that. Now, like I just mentioned, I spent a lot of years and in my professional career sort of, hunting with other dogs, and it was great. I didn't have to feed or train, travel with anything. But I became interested in these little squirrel dogs a couple years ago. And I mean, it was like what stole the show, what stole the heart, my heart. And I had sort of started to devise a plan that when I was to get my first hunting dog, it was going to be a squirrel dog. And, for a while, it's kind of like, okay, I'm in this position, UKC, American Field, and I had to think through that honestly, like, where do I see myself here and now, my 5-year, 10-year plan, or like, what's the expectation? And like, okay, here's Chris, like, making a splash with a squirrel dog. And to be honest, again, I went through this like internal dialogue of like, well, do I get a lab that's going to do everything? And I had to stay true to what was in my heart. And so actually this afternoon I have a squirrel dog being delivered, and so that's what we're doing.
So I don't know anything about a squirrel dog. So tell me, like, what breed is it? What did you get? Like, what? Like, give me that info. That because that's mind-boggling to me because I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's still, people may have heard about him or whatever, but the fact is that there are dedicated squirrel dogs, and they tree squirrels like a tree a bear or tree a coon. And man, think of it more like actually like a type of dog. So Southern Appalachia, settler era, they brought hounds and terriers over from overseas, and they needed a dog that was gamey, that would protect the homestead, would chase vermin, would tree and help put meat on the table. And so squirrel dogs fall into generally two types. There's the larger curs, and those are think more houndy. They nose big running dogs, and then there's the Feist, which are smaller, kind of little like Jack Russell Terrier, Rat
For
Terrier
sure.
types.
Yep.
And so I went with the Feist, and
Nice.
that's kind of what I want to look at, what I want in my home. They're a little bit closer working, a little bit less imposing. You show up to hunt with a 25-pound dog, and man, it checked all the boxes for
That's
me.
cool.
And then within there's treeing Feist and there's mountain Feist, and really you kind of just split hairs, and they're it's more of like a family, like a bloodline. Get into there's some foundational stock, and I think where we're getting at is it is becoming more of like a recognized breed. There's some stand I mean UKC's been recognizing Feist for 20 so odd years as a breed, but like now when you buy a Feist puppy, there's a good chance you're getting a squirrel dog. It used to be like you got a couple good dogs here and there, but like we're seeing squirrel dogs coming to a level of like duck dogs,
Right. So the
bird
lineage
dogs,
is building, and that's what we were talking about. As these categories progress and get longer, obviously, because it just takes time, right? And you get like a couple good dogs and a couple good lines, and then they start having pups, and that line and that lineage starts going, people are going to start looking for, whoever the named dogs are in that category, right? They're like, okay, I need this dog, right? For
And
sure.
it was extremely challenging. I mean, I spent almost the better part of a year or so like trying to find a line of Feist that I like, and that I believed like represented the treeing Feist breed. Because unfortunately, I feel like sometimes a dog that is under 30 pounds, under 18 inches at the withers, like looks the part. We'll call it a Feist, and it's like, well, it's some sort of accidental cross, not really. So it was challenging.
Wow, that's insane. Like, yeah, I need pictures when you get them, because it's gonna be probably the cutest little bugger ever, right? And then it's not gonna grow that much, right? Like, it isn't gonna grow that much, which is so crazy. But
She's
it's
like
gonna
eight,
be
ten
like,
pounds.
yeah, it's gonna be just like a menace in the woods. Like, gonna be just like so on it.
It's really cool, man. These dogs, you sort of cast them out like bird dogs. They run through the timber. They're, I would say, 200, 300 yard max, depending on your cover.
For
But
sure.
they hunt with their eyes, their ears, and their nose. Like, it's really neat. They might ground scent a squirrel, but they might watch the treetops. And then a good squirrel dog will timber as that squirrel's bailing from tree to tree. That Feist is moving with him, and he's barking tree to indicate. And grown men scrambling through the
For
trees, falling
sure.
over, trying to race to get to the tree. It's a riot.
That's insane to me. I think about something like that, and years ago, I went on a pig hunt, a hog hunt with dogs, and it was the most insane thing that I've ever witnessed. It was in
I bet.
Mississippi. You go down south in Mississippi, and they had the track dogs, and they have them on GPS so they could see. And then it's like, we're following the dogs, and then the guy who's like in charge is like, okay, we gotta go, because they have the pig or pigs at bay, which means they kind of have them surrounded and they have them held up so you can get there, because he can see it on the GPS where it's like they're in the same spot. And I was like, we gotta go. So here we are, Mississippi. It's kind of warmer out, so just imagine this. It's warmer out. We got like we're all sweating. We got like rubber boots on and jeans and like t-shirts, and we're running through the swamp and the woods in the Mississippi. And of course, one of the guys says, just keep an eye out for the snakes, right? So then that put me in like a totally different mode. Now I'm like, I'm beating everybody. I'm like, there is no way I'm gonna run as fast as I can there. So we get there, and sure as heck, like, it is, they have the pig surrounded, and they just won't let him go anywhere.
Yeah.
It was the most insane thing that I've seen. Like, those dogs knew exactly what to do, and they were trained like it, and they were all different breeds. Like, some of them, like you
Yeah.
said,
Oh,
like
wow.
some of them might be mixed and mutts or whatever, but they all learned off of his number one dog, right? And they all knew what to do. Everybody had a job. So, never seen anything like it. But like you're talking about,
Yeah.
like they get into that lineage of that dog, and then they train other dogs, and then those dogs get better. Like,
Yeah.
that game is such a different deal. But I was just in amazement of watching the dogs and what they did. It was unreal
Yeah.
because we
Yeah.
must have ran 3 miles.
Wow.
So,
Was this at night?
no, this was during the
Okay,
day.
this during day. Okay, wow. Yeah.
Insane. So that's what I'm saying. Like, totally different. I've never seen anything like that. I was exposed to
Yeah.
that. It was so
Wow.
cool to go and do it. And I was like, okay, this is pretty wild.
Yeah.
So, like you said, there's so many avenues on the dog side of what to do, you know. Like I'm sure your dog's going to be able to do other stuff other than squirrels. Like, who knows what that dog's going to be able to do? I don't know.
Yeah. We're just going to find it out together. I mean, some guys will blood track or flush birds or whatever, but hey, we're going to find it out together. That's what I'm looking forward to. I have a general idea of what I want to do. And pup is 10 weeks old. So
For
it's
sure.
like we're going to do the basics. I want to let her be a puppy and just like have fun with this, man. Like,
For sure.
I don't have children. I may not. So it's like this is my time to just like enjoy that early stage. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's like the best part is going through the puppy stage, and it's like, of course, it's going to be frustrating. They're going to test your patience and
Oh
everything
my
else.
God.
Like, for sure. Like, it's like, I'm on my I'm on my third dog, me personally. Like, once, like we had two dogs when I was growing up that were just incredible, labs. They were great pets. They were great pets. They were, very good hunting dogs. And then as I left and then got my first dog, it was a progression for me. I thought my first dog was great. He was a great house dog. He was a great pet. He was a very good hunter. And him and I learned a lot together as we went, right? So then I get the second dog, and then I say, okay, I gotta step my game up because I've seen a couple dogs do a couple things, and I'm like, okay, I want him to do that. So then we step up, with him. So, and then that went way better, and I was like, oh, so then I'm like, there's still more I want to do. So then I get this dog, which is Jet, who I've had, like, Jet's gonna turn on, Jet's five. So, and I got with, different trainers and different guys and learned different stuff, and then hunted with different people who, like, like the first time I saw a guy, like, watched a bird sail at like 300, 400 yards, and then watch the guy get out of the blind and just be like, yeah, I got it.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. And all of a sudden, he lines up the dog, and off he goes, and he kind of gets offline a little bit, and he blows the whistle, and he casts him here, there. And I mean, it's two whistle casts, and he's right on it, picks up the bird,
Wow.
comes back, and I'm like, holy shit, you can do that with a dog. And
Ha.
I'm like, I gotta step it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, so Jet obviously needs more, and probably my next dog is gonna get more because, I talked about this with the guy from Dogtra, and there's no bad dogs or not trained dogs. There's just bad trainers or not skilled trainers, or it's on us, right? We got to put it in them. Like, they have the basic everything. We got to get it out of them. And there's still more I'm learning on what to do. But, like the first time we were in Montana, I know exactly where we were. We were in Montana, we were hunting this little pond, but then there was a huge, like, horse pasture, and it went all the way out almost to the river, and it was hundreds of yards. And we get a couple mallards in close, shoot a couple, and somebody tries to clip one on the way out and hits it, and I'm watching it, and Jet's sitting watching, and he's watching, I think he's watching that one, but I wasn't sure, so I just started yelling, Mark, Mark. and I'm like pointing so he kind of get up, and he was on and he watched it, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, I don't know if it's going to go down, and it goes down, and it's 300 plus easy, and there was snow on the ground, there was a lot of cover, but it's all like bent over cover because of the snow. So I'm like okay. So I'm like, here we go. Like, I don't
Yeah,
know how
right.
this is gonna go, right? So I line him up. He's got to go through the water, get up the bank, and go. So he fires off through the water, up the bank, over, and he's going. Like he had a pretty good mark, and he's going, 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 going. And I'm like, holy crap, this is gonna go down. And he gets out, and he just goes offline just a hair. I blow the whistle, and he could barely see me. And I give him a cast to the right a little bit, and he angles back, and he just freaking nails it, right? And
Wow.
everybody that's hunting with us, like, did that same thing that I did the first time I saw it. They were like, holy crap. And I'm like, I'm obviously, you're pretty proud at that moment, but you're also thinking about, everybody's like, man, that was awesome. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah. And I go, but if you knew the amount of work that we put in for like the last 2 years, right, to get that, it'd blow your mind. You know what I mean? It's constant daily work. You know what I mean? But when that
Yeah.
happens, it's rock star stuff.
Wow. Yeah, that's always so hard to articulate, like, okay, this is what you saw, but you didn't see everything that led
Oh,
up to it.
oh my God. Like, you didn't see the days where it's like, and everybody, if you do anything with dogs, there's just the days where it's like, probably one of the best things I learned from a trainer was like, hey, if things are going bad, like, just call it a day. Like, he's just having a bad work day, and you just pack it in, and you just load them back up, and we'll get them tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
there's gonna be days like that. And you just like, because they said, like, don't waste your time. Like, he's off, or she, and, or you're off, you guys aren't synced. Like, it's something that's not going right. So, just chalk one up, and, go get them tomorrow. So you're gonna have days like that. So that, like, the other thing is, like you're saying, there's so much information and so much stuff out there to learn, and obviously online has just been incredible. But also, anybody that in your area that does what you want to do, like you already know, like, you have a pup and this is what you want to do. So if there's anybody in the area that's doing what you want to do, go train with them, because you're going to learn so much as the person handling the dog, and the dog's going to pick up stuff from the other dogs. Like, of course, they'll pick up bad habits, so you got to watch that. But they will
Right.
absolutely pick up, like, the stuff they need to know. Like, that's a huge deal.
Yeah. And I have a lot of friends that are like retriever owners, bird dog owners, and like, heck, we'll go out together because I feel there's more that I have to learn. Yes, it's a squirrel dog, but just the relationship, the how you're presenting your info, like how you're trying to get there. And I want to be, you made me think a lot about, I want to try to make it a point to like not rush this again. Like, yeah, everybody wants that first tree, that limit, that, dog that's just crushing it. But like, man, it takes a long time to get there. And if you rush the basics or, you get frustrated, whatever, like, it's not gonna be fun.
No, I heard this from a couple guys, but then I heard the total opposite from a couple other trainers. Like, when I got Jet, he was gonna be 9 months, like, at the start of the season, like, 9, 10 months, like, right in October, he's gonna be 9. And our duck season starts middle of October. And I had a lot of trainers going, don't hunt them the first year. You're just gonna give them bad habits. Like, it's just not gonna be. And I'm thinking to myself, I got the dog to hunt. And I remember from my first dog that him and I learned something every day in the field, right? And if I could limit the negatives, right? Let's say the bad lessons or bad experiences, or try to limit him around maybe a not steady dog, or a not, a dog where he was going to get bad habits, and if I was doing all the things that I needed to do, there's no way I was like going to sit that out. So I started him. And, we had, there was days where it was like, hey, he's just going to sit and mind his business and, be a good citizen and not, be steady. And if I got to pick up a couple ducks, I'll pick some up and then maybe he'll pick one up. Like, I just started that way because like I said, like I didn't want to go through another season with no dog, and that's why I got him. And we just hit the fire together. So, and
Yeah.
that's, it was on the job training. Like, what else are you gonna say? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I love hearing that too, because like I think there's some sort of, classic doctrine. You start a puppy in the spring because of it's right for all the right reasons, but man,
Right.
life doesn't always happen that
No.
way, or you might miss the dog of a lifetime. So I'm
That's
looking
right.
at that here too. I've got a 2.5 month old dog, season is in.
Yeah.
And what am I gonna do? Well, I'm just gonna meter my expectations. And we're going to be on the job training. We're going to be out there. I'm going to see what I see, but I'm not going to sit it out. I mean, come on.
No.
And there'll be plenty to learn, plenty to do.
That's right. I think taking him, could be wrong. I think taking him that young and exposing him to that, I think personally, and I'm not a dog psychologist or whatever, I think our bond is stronger. And I think he wants to go hunting. He wants to go as much, if not more, than I do, because that's like what he lives for. You know what I
Sure.
mean? Like, even now, when I'm gonna get off the call, it's, mid-morning, I'm gonna grab him, I'm gonna drop the tailgate, and as soon as I drop the tailgate and I go load up, like, he knows we're going, and it's just gonna be bumpers, right? And he could give two cra he is so jacked to jump in the truck and go. And that's the thing, like, he lives for it. So, and he's just got that fire. And some dogs, like, you either have it or they don't have it, or maybe they just get so excited and into it from you taking them, and they're like, this is what I was born to do this. Like, this is my favorite thing. I don't know how
Yeah.
dogs think, but I know when it's time to go, he is as excited or more than me.
Yeah, and I love that. And Andrew McKean
Oh yeah, Andrew.
wrote a story for us about that, and it's in our I think it's in our fall issue. It's on Fair Chase. And I love Andrew and his writing and his mind, but he goes
Yeah.
into a little bit more of is it fair and equitable for our dogs? Because like you said, once our at some point, for whatever reason, our dogs may start to demonstrate that they're not as into it as they once were or as we are. And so it kind of gets at that whole thing, equitable for the dog, for the game, whatever else.
Yeah.
But I think that just goes to show and really drive home that, hey, like they're in it to win it, like just alongside. They're as passionate as we are. They were bred for this, like they love this. And man, you're talking about like matching, the dog for the pursuit. When you find that's the secret sauce. That's some powerful stuff. You find, a dog to do what you enjoy, like just as much as you. Oh my gosh, nothing better.
When you've hit it, you know what I mean? Like, I can say, going through, like I said, this is dog number three. When you get to a certain point and you get that dog and you guys click and it's a true, like, partnership, and you guys are like working together, like, he is for sure, him and I are in sync. We know what we got to do. It's a well-oiled machine. That takes everything to like the next level. And another thing that I'll throw to everybody too is, your dog, if you end up going with someone with another dog, this is even harder, is when because I can tell you I've hit this for sure this time as well. I've trained in the off season with a guy named David Bingham who plays Major League Soccer. He plays in Charlotte, but David lived here and played in Portland. So him and I hook up because of a guy down in California that we both know. And he said, "Hey, you need to meet my buddy David. He's up there now. He just got up there to play, and he's a big dog guy and hunting." And I go, "Okay." So him and I like start training. And then we train. I mean, David was here like 2, 2.5 years and always comes back this way because he has a house in California and then he comes up here. But me and Jet and then David and his dog Nitro, like if we're in the boat together, it is like we are in sync. And that is almost impossible to get two trainers, two dogs, and the dogs to be respectful and Nitro's going for this bird and Jet's going this one. Or if there's another one and they're both going and one's flopping and we got to call one off, like it's easy to call one off. Like they work well together. It's, I don't want to say it's impossible, but man, you're there's a lot of factors that go in to that to get
Wow.
there.
Yeah, that's special. I was thinking you were talking about something earlier that made me think about and I'd love to talk about an experience I went out. You're talking about the hog hunting and the different dogs working together. Like you said, if it's two labs or, sometimes there's a flushing dog and a pointing dog. I got to go hunt with some terriers and like do some underground work. And you have the dog that goes to ground, and then you have this like sight hound that's on the ground. Like if the groundhog bails up above ground, now the hound is chasing, and like the dynamic, the communication, what should be just chaos is like a fine-tuned machine, and it's amazing to watch. And you throw handlers in there, and it's just, oh my gosh, it's like a
It's
piece of
controlled
art.
chaos.
It
Yeah.
is, man. It's wild. Yeah.
You
Yeah.
know, when you and it doesn't matter what breed like or what you're doing, like you said, when you get to that point, and here's the thing, I'll go back to like we didn't just get there, right? We had a train in the off season and it's days of hunting together and the dogs being exposed with each other. And when we first let them out of the truck, the two of them run around like two of the biggest idiots for like the first 10 minutes. They're chasing each other, they're running into each other. Who falls over? Who rolls on the ground? Like they're just two
Yeah.
absolute clowns and they go together. And then, but then when it's time to work, like both of them just like we're on it. So, like we said, like you see the end result, but you don't see everything we had to go through to get there. And yeah, it takes time, but man, it's so cool when we go somewhere and we're either in the same boat or we're in different boats if we have a lot of people and we go and it's like they're like those dogs work really good together. Like you just don't, it's just not an easy thing to find all the time and it takes time. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I suppose you either got to kind of train for that or you just have to do like in the field stuff. And yeah, I feel like a lot of people are handlers like aren't ready to get there or, they don't know how or something like that. But it's like, hey, we all deserve a well-trained dog.
Sure.
It takes some patience and persistence, but yeah, like work with somebody else, set some high goals for yourself, try to get there.
Yeah, I mean, I always say this, like obviously, like in the spring or coming out of the season, like when we talked to the guys at Dog Trail, we were talking about, getting your dog ready for the season and all this other stuff. But it's like, sure, after the season, whatever season it is, give the dog a break. You need a break. Everybody take a little time off and then kind of jump back into it because it doesn't matter what dog you have, what breed you have, what season you're in, or what you're training for, everybody needs a break. But then you got to like get back into it because you can't expect, like if you go into your second year with your squirrel dog and you sat him for 6, 8 months and he hasn't done anything, you can't expect him to just jump back in and be a rock star. Like, I don't care who you are. So, that's a huge part of it is just kind of maintaining once you get there. You know what I mean? Because there's
Yeah.
always more stuff to learn, but you still have to keep your basics tight. right?
Yeah. And these hunting dogs too. I mean, whether it's like running yard drills for retrievers or, styling up a pointer, whatever it might be, or it's like the competitions, or it's some off
Oh, yeah.
season activity. Like, man, these dogs are a lifestyle,
Oh, for
and it's
sure.
what you make of it. Go find something, stay out there.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Awesome. Like there's so much info. I hope everybody's getting something out of this, no matter what you do. If you're a dog person, like this is awesome. So if you want to go to the website, it's
Yeah.
UKC.com.
Yeah.
UKCdogs.com.
UKCdogs.com.
I had a couple
And
things
then,
open looking through some
yeah.
information.
Yeah.
There's so much there. If you want to go to the website, go there. And like you said, if we talked about it, if you're looking for a certain dog or you're looking to get into something else, like I can't tell you how much information is on there. It's pretty intense. So definitely go there and do that. And then like you said, the American Field, the magazine, like pretty cool. Like I got my copies. It's pretty awesome. I like having the magazine. You can check that out or whatever. Like you have the Hound publication. There's a lot going on. So
Absolutely.
awesome. All right. Listen, appreciate you jumping on with us. That was, man, I love talking dog stuff. There's so much to go through.
That's right.
We're gonna need some updates on your pup once you get him going. Did
Yeah,
you
you
pick a
betcha,
name?
Mario.
Did you pick a name?
Man, we've got some things floating around. The wife helped out, but I think
Right.
it's like we got to meet her. You just gotta
Yep.
sit with her and kind of see what comes out. But yeah, so we'll be making a splash with that here pretty soon.
Oh my God, that's awesome. All right, everybody, if you want to check our stuff out, it's fabrand.com. If you want to go to the YouTube channel, hit up the YouTube channel. And you can find some more videos, other podcasts. You can go and find other podcasts on all the other places like Apple and everywhere else. And then once again, thanks to our partners and everybody that we're hooked up with, Thorough Ammunition and Weatherby and Leupold, as well as Rogers Sporting Goods. So appreciate you guys checking out. It's the FA podcast for today. Thanks for checking it out.